Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
He did it again.
Exactly. You know it.
Wait, what did you say?
He did it again.
Yeah, he just did it again.
Williams, drifting, sprinting for space, in all kinds of trouble, put it up for grabs in the end zone. He got it! For the touchdown! They've done it again! Unbelievable!
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
In these moments, you feel that you let your team down. You know, it's a good lesson learned.
You know, we had a hell of a year. Like, nobody beginning of the season picked us to be where we was at. This is a special group, and the culture has been set.
I can appreciate an organization, the city of Chicago.
It was a special year, and, you know, this will be hopefully a feeling in this locker room that we won't forget, and we'll be able to use it as fuel going forward.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
The most important piece, we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Good, better, bet.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell with an end-of-season podcast. Wish we were previewing an NFC Championship. Joining me is Mark Carman from CHGO and WGN Radio. And Carm, I'm going to be honest, the farther we get from that Rams game and the closer we get to the NFC Championship, it stings a little bit more just because it felt like they should have beat the Rams, and then who knows what happens in Seattle. Where are you at about 5 days removed from that overtime loss?
Yeah, I think I'm right with you there, KP. Look, I think you were playing a Rams team that at least, you know, if it was a neutral site game with no weather, I think most people would have picked the Rams to win the game. But you got the game at home. You earned that, by the way. And then you got the weather that you needed. And then you had the football at midfield in overtime with a chance to win with all day to throw. And DJ doesn't run the same route that Caleb thinks he's going to run. We all know what happened, the interception, and then the Rams go and kick the game-winning field goal. So just to, you know, looking back at it, to be in that position and not get it done, it's painful because, you know, as everyone has said, you never know when you're going to get back there. But and that's true. I also think the Bears, you know, finished the season trending in the right direction. So, I mean, there should be a ton of optimism for 2026. I have it. I'm sure you do, too. But it does feel like a missed opportunity to at least go another round. And, you know, all week long we'd be talking about the Bears are playing to go to the Super Bowl, which would have been a lot of fun.
Right. You know, after the game, I'm in the locker room and I ask Cole Kmet the obvious question, like, hey, this is a building block season, right? This is step one. I'm sure you got to feel great about it, that especially using this momentum going into next year. And he basically shot that line of thinking down and said, no. There are no guarantees we're going to be back. It's back to square one. The locker room's going to look different. The coaching staff will look different. Coaches are already leaving. And then Ben Johnson said the same thing at Halas Hall. He said, we are back to square one. I love it, Carm. I love the tone coming out of Halas Hall. You can't sit there and say, yeah, it was a good season. Like, we're definitely going to build off of this, which I think you hear a lot. And my question was kind of a cliche question. And I was happy Cole answered the way he did. And I loved Ben Johnson's tone in the press conference. He has been his tone has been constant from day one at Halas Hall. And I love the way of thinking that Cole has and Ben Johnson has and other players have, that this is the NFL. There's no guarantee they're going back next year. You got to put the work in. That all starts in the spring and the OTAs and then back at camp.
Yeah, Cole is one of my favorites, has been for a long time, because anybody who's dealt with Cole just knows what, he's just the greatest. He's honest, he's friendly, he's, you know, puts everything into it every single day. Just a huge credit to the organization. I think Ben came here too and like maybe didn't know what he had per se in Cole. And then I think all those two are very well connected after the season and had some great moments. And, you know, Cole last year at the press conference when they hired Ben, there was like four players there. Cole was one of them. And the look on his face was like, yeah, I'm not going to act all excited here. I know you're a hot coordinator, but there's so much more to being a head coach. He was skeptical at that point that they had the right guy, at least by the look on his face. And then, you know, Ben came in and was Ben Johnson, and that, you know, it obviously everybody feels like the Bears have their guy, and there's, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, of course, you know, Cole was skeptical then, and now he's skeptical that they're going to be able to get back there. He knows how much work it's going to take, and I'm sure he also believes that they can do it as well.
He's got to be back, right? Cole's not going anywhere.
I wouldn't think so. You know, I do they do a restructure of his deal, extend it out? I think that should be something that's on the table. Cole also, I don't think he really cares, but he's going to have to know that here he's now the number two tight end catching the football. I mean, there's no doubt that Colson's going to get more targets than him. Is he comfortable with that? I would think he is. You know, he wants to win here and all of that. And he's never been a guy that's tried to get every last dollar because, you know, I don't know, KP, I think $11 million a year is a pretty good salary. And, you know, you can survive on that. So, you know, I would assume he's here. I'd be very surprised if not. But, you know, I do think there's going to be a lot of change on that roster, so you never know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Just, we don't have to recap the whole game, but what did you make of and what have you gathered of what exactly? Because Ben Johnson said the right thing too, right? That the quote miscommunication between Caleb and DJ on that last play was on him. It's a frustrating one because when you go back and look at it, if DJ and Caleb are on the same page, not only if they complete that, does it get into field goal range? That could have been a touchdown. I mean, DJ Moore is looking at a one-on-one situation. You always feel good about DJ Moore in a one-on-one. Breaks a tackle, he's walking into the end zone. But what did you make of that final play, and what did you think of what Ben said and Caleb said about that play?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily, at least for me, like it was DJ's fault or it was Caleb's fault. I don't think that's, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think you can really pin it on anybody. I think DJ ran the right route. Caleb thought that, you know, where he was throwing the ball made the most sense. So I don't think, like, I can't believe Caleb threw that, or I can't believe DJ ran that. Now, after you get past that part, Caleb did throw the football. It is in the air. DJ is around it, and he doesn't make any attempt to break it up, you know, and so then the interception happens. There's, and I don't even want to go at DJ's effort because the guy played through a zillion injuries this year and made the best catch in Bears' recent 40-year history, all of those things. So, you know, but I do think, come on, man, if it is a playoff game, it is the end of the year. If that guy catches that ball, the season's over. You got to make an attempt to knock that ball free.
Yeah, and easy for me to say, easy for us to say when we go back and watch the replay. I actually thought Caleb on that play, and the protection was there, so I hate to say like he should have bailed from the pocket because there was plenty of time to throw. The offensive line was so good all year. But it also kind of felt because Caleb really didn't use his legs a ton in that game, but when he did, they were huge pickups. And I'm talking about scrambling. Obviously, he used them on that final throw to get it to overtime. I just thought it was a drive. Caleb is going to say, screw this. The ball is in my hands. I am getting us into field goal range at minimum. And that wasn't the case. So one last credit to it for that Rams game, the defense and Dennis Allen, because they needed their best defensive game of the season, and they got it against one of, if not the best offenses in football. Did Puka kill him? No. Did Adams kill him? No. I mean, some big plays here and there, but you think about that first half against Green Bay when you didn't think the defense, you know, you thought the Packers were going to put up 50 in that game. They rally in the second half, and then for the most part, like, they kept the Rams to 17 points in regulation, Carm. Going into that one, while we all do our previews for the game, if someone said Rams are only scoring 17 through four quarters, you're like, you'd be like, I like our chances in this one. I like the Bears' chances.
Yeah, and the further credit to DA, I mean, you start the game, the Rams, you know, go down the field and score, and it's like, oh, God, they're going to put up 40, and right. This is a shootout. And, you know, and so they made the adjustments. You know, Jaquan Brisker had his best game of the year. I think that guy knew that he was auditioning, and also I think even more so than that, just wanted to go out with a bang in Chicago is how he put it. So, I mean, he was all over the field. I thought DeMarco Jackson had a great season. you know, stepping in for T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds when they were hurt. He was in the middle of that defense calling the plays as a Mike linebacker. Like, in Dennis, to his part, I mean, he's dialing up Kyler Gordon on blitzes. He's, you know, he's sending Brisker. He's doing all sorts of things to try to get to the quarterback because they had to, and they got to him, got him on the ground four times. So it was a phenomenal performance. Yeah. It's, and the weather did help for sure too, because it was not easy to play out there in all of it. But there's no doubt DA did a great job.
And we saw a glimpse of what this defense could look like with Kyler Gordon fully healthy. Because game two back, he looked like Kyler Gordon, the Kyler Gordon we all expected to see this season. So that gets you excited about next year. He's got to stay healthy. But that dude is a force in a couple of different ways, whether it's in coverage or getting to the quarterback. I'm a big believer in Kyler Gordon as long as he can stay healthy. The safeties, four of them are set for free agency, obviously including the two starters, Brisker and Byard. I think the priority is bringing back Byard over Brisker. Nothing against Brisker. I'm a big fan. But Byard's playmaking ability, I think for Brisker, some of the injury issues in the past, that safety of the two you can probably find for a better bargain. You know, if you had to pick one, Carm, Byard or Brisker to bring back, who would you choose there?
I mean, price is a big part of it, right? Yeah. Like, if you're telling me they're the same price for the same years,
which they're not, I realize that's a tough call, but I'm just saying I think Byard should be more of a priority than Brisker. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, yeah, and just sort of living in though, you know, what the Bears are saying, you know, Ryan Poles in his end of year presser, Kevin Byard, I forget exactly how I put it, but called him a special player, somebody that we want to bring back. He didn't say anything about Brisker. So that speaks loud and clear of the direction the Bears are going to go. I'd be very surprised if the market came where the Bears would even consider Jaquan, which sucks, by the way. That's just, you know, I think Brisker's a good dude. It's Poles' second ever draft pick. It's, you know, minus his third year when he only played five games. The guy's been out there. It doesn't feel like he was, but he, you know, he basically played every game his first 2 years, and he did play every game this year.
Yeah,
didn't play at the level that he played at the end of the year all year. So that was, you know, I think he was being a little careful with his injury history, just wanting to stay out there. But I think they lost. I think they lost, or Brisker lost himself with Chicago with some of his tweets over the years, KP. Because it seems like there's something more going on there.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can point to that at least that's, you know, behind the scenes that's public is, you know, he went a little rogue on Twitter a bunch of times. And I'm guessing that did not sit well with the Bears.
No. Credit to Ryan Poles, too, because this rookie class was pretty dang good, Carm. I mean, Trapillo, Burden, and obviously Colston Loveland, who's looking like one of the more exciting young tight ends in all of football. I don't agree with everything Ryan Poles has done, but the way he flipped the offensive line and bringing in some real difference makers in this year's draft, credit to Ryan Poles.
100%. You know, writing a script for a video on that yesterday, just like, hey man, like all the credit's going to go to Ben. It's all going to go to Caleb. But, you know, it starts with Poles. You got to give him his due. Trades out of the Stroud Bryce Young year, gets a handful of picks, takes Caleb. You know, it took a second, but here he is. And, you know, the Bears paid top of the market money for Ben Johnson, $13 million a year, $65 million total, to bring in the guy. And, you know, that doesn't happen without Poles, is, you know, targeting. And I'm sure Kevin Warren was very involved in that money and being allocated. But Ryan deserves a ton of credit.
Max Crosby, are you thinking about it? Think it's going to happen, Carm? What's the buzz over there at CHGO? Are you guys thinking Crosby to the Bears?
Yeah, well, in about 20 minutes, we're doing the show. I think the title is Max Out or Max Something or Max the Hell In. We're talking to some guy from Vegas about it. So seems to me like they're interested. He's clearly interested. You know, what's the price point to bring him here? If it includes Montez Sweat or DJ Moore, sign me up. If it includes Colston Loveland and Tyson Bagent, sign me out.
That's where you draw the line, your boy Tyson Bagent.
We can't trade Bagent. I mean, at least if I'm the Raiders, that's who I'm asking for. But
yeah, I mean, the DJ Moore thing makes more sense than, I mean, Montez Sweat wouldn't because of the contract, because they're likely going to draft a quarterback, likely Mendoza. So then you're looking at adding a receiver to that roster. You've got Genty, like that would make a little more sense, right? Like, hey, let's include DJ here because we would love to have a proven veteran to pair with our top overall draft pick, which is likely going to be used on a quarterback. So I'm not ruling it out. I remember when the Bears traded for Mac, everyone said there was no chance they were going to do it. Different era, different time, different personnel. But I'm not ruling it out, especially when you saw what Green Bay did last year.
I absolutely wouldn't rule it out. Poles didn't rule it out either.
Herb asked him, and he kind of laughed it off.
So it seems remotely possible.
You know, I just want to finish on this, on Caleb Williams, because things happen this season, Carm, that Bears fans have literally been dreaming about for years. A winner, a legit head coach beating Green Bay. They beat him twice, including the playoffs. And a big reason all of that happened was because of the quarterback. I mean, it's happening, Carm. They have their franchise quarterback. Is he perfect yet? No. He said it. We all know. Get the accuracy up. Work on completion percentage. This dude could be, he's going to be one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the NFL for years to come, I believe. They've got their guy.
Yeah, Caleb had as big of a transformational year as you could possibly have. In training camp, after the first preseason game, he had one of the worst practices of all time. The Bears extended Tyson Bagent, and Caleb himself late in the year called his relationship with Ben fragile. Yeah. And they could not get out of the huddle without having a false start or just run the offense. And by the end of the year, he's throwing some of the greatest passes in Bears history to DJ Moore, to Cole Kmet, and the Bears won 12 games on the year, including a playoff game. So I think it just needs to be underlined a couple of times over and over here that how far they came, because I think people were right, me specifically here, but everybody who was skeptical that this was going to work, because it was real. Like they were struggling, but those two got together, got in the office, and Caleb's immense talent is now on display. So how high up is high up? Can he win an MVP? Will the Bears win the Super Bowl? Will that happen multiple times? It's all on the table. Yeah. And the floor for what he is, too, has been raised significantly as well. So,
right.
An incredible year, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was a magical season. I know 2018 was great. There was the Super Bowl ride with Lovey. But, man, Carm, you go back and you think about the way they won football games and what a journey it was and how much excitement it brought to the city and to the fans. It was a jolt that Bears fans needed so, so bad. You think about the disaster of last year. It was an amazing ride, Carm. A magical season.
No doubt, brother. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We'll do it again in 2026, KP.
We'll do it again in 2026. Go have fun at CHGO. That's Mark Carman. You can see him at CHGO and hear him on WGN Radio. Carm, thanks a bunch. Good talking to you.
Always, brother. Always. Be good, Kevin.
Thanks again to Carm for jumping on. Thank you for listening. The 2025 Chicago Bears, what a ride it was, and an exciting offseason ahead. We'll start doing mock drafts and free agency, and maybe we see the Bears get ultra aggressive and make a move for Max Crosby, because when you look at this Bears defense, what are they missing? It's an elite pass rusher. They didn't have it all year. I thought Montez Sweat was pretty good. He's not a dude that's collapsing the pocket. I know he got to double-digit sacks, but you don't feel him a ton in the pass rush. Maybe they do get aggressive and make a move for Max Crosby, but wanted to wrap up the season. We will have plenty of coverage at WGN and on the WGN Radio Football Podcast throughout the offseason following Bears moves, whether it's free agency or the draft or trades, whatever it might be. But thank you for listening all season long. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. Thanks again to Carm. This is the latest episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast.